Good morning, everybody, Jason. And welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is September 26th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years' worth of archives. Wanted to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have? Anybody have anything? All right. Well, then with that, we'll jump right into our topic. We've talked the last several calls. They've been kind of technical calls, and we've kind of talked about various things. I kind of wanted to take it back strictly to sales this week, and kind of back to the basics and a little bit on just your essential, your basic sales presentation. And I can tell you that one of the most challenging things that I think new salespeople run into when they go into a home or when they're going to go into a home is how do you organize your sales presentation? Now, for a lot of us that have started in the industry, I don't know about you guys or the other people listening to this, but the manufacturer that I came into the industry with a long time ago, there was a script. You had to read the script. You learned the script. It's about 3.5 hours long, and it had every demonstration and every little part of it that you had to do. And boy, I was drinking the Kool-Aid back then. I was doing the script. I was memorizing it word for word. And when I went into the home, I talk about this in my book, where, I had this script down. It's what I was supposed to be doing. It's what everybody told me I was supposed to be doing. And the first house I went to completely threw me off script. I mean, it was like these people lived in the house and they didn't have furniture, so there was no kitchen table, and they barely spoke English, so there were a bunch of kids around, like getting into my test kit, and it was just so different than what my script told me I was supposed to do. And boy, I tried to trudge through it, to keep pushing through that thing, but I did end up making a sale on that one, but it was after quite a while, later, and it was challenging to stay with that script. And so I had to sort of reevaluate and recognize that sometimes using that script is just not the real world stuff. Now, I do know that there are companies out there still, that's what they do. They hire salespeople. They've got their big call centers. They have tons and tons of leads, so they hire salespeople with zero experience, give them 2 weeks or less to learn verbatim a script, and send them out to a house to do this stuff. And I can tell you, I always loved selling against those people because it was clear, as soon as they get off script, they were totally fumbled and didn't have any idea what they were doing. But I got to tell you, if you're playing strictly a numbers game, when it comes to sales, those things can be pretty effective. And there's a lot of companies out there, they close and they sell using that script that is exactly the same no matter what. They hold their salespeople accountable for the script and they play the numbers game and they make a lot of money. For me, I found a lot of joy in actually listening to the customer, right? And actually, instead of giving this big, long script that told me what I had to start with, how I had to start my presentation. Back then, we had flip books, right? Everybody had a presentation book. And you flip through it one page at a time, and it helped you stay on script, and you used that presentation book, and it had all the all the stuff in it. I mean, it was awesome. You set them down at the table and you flipped through that book and you showed them exactly what they wanted to do. Anybody else remember? Anybody been in the industry long enough to see those? Remember those three ring binder flip presentation books? Just about every manufacturer had them out there. Anybody remember those?
I do.
Yeah, they were good. I mean, they were good. They covered everything, you know, in the way you were supposed to organize them. You know, you talked about your company, the dealership you worked with, and then you talked about the, you know, the manufacturer that you had, and then you went through, and it definitely kept you organized. And I just do want to say that even to this day, I think it's really valuable for that, for a new salesperson to learn that script. To go through and learn that script, because there are portions of the script that should be used in every presentation. But I think that it really depends on who you're talking to, on which portions get used, you know, which tool gets used. Paul, did you ever use the script? Do you guys still, you know, now a lot of those presentation books have gone digital. Do your salespeople still use a version of that?
Our corporate company has a very good iPad presentation, and it's getting nothing but better and better for our guys in the home. It's getting them to do it, though. You know, a lot of these people are saying, oh, we're just in a replacement market. They already know what they need. We don't have to go through all of these things.
I disagree really with that, too.
Need to go through these things, and you do need to start talking about drinking water first. If they know they need a softener already, you always go to the drinking water first, in our opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're exactly right. So there, it's really powerful. I mean, it can be – the cool thing about the digital presentation is you can customize it based on – you know, so the manufacturer that I worked with way back when had the ability, and I could save different – presentations. You could customize the presentation on the computer and save it differently, so I would recognize the type of presentation I needed to do, and I would pull that out. You know, so okay, here's somebody that's, you know, it's a replacement market or whatever, and I would have different presentations saved on it. You can probably do that with yours as well. So I want to make sure that I'm not bashing that presentation book or that script or the digital presentation or anything like that, because it can be very powerful, and it can make it does make sure that you are covering all the information. And you're right, Paul, that salespeople tend to go in and say, well, I don't need that, it's a replacement market, they already know about water softeners. I can tell you they don't, because they've had that thing 15-20 years and probably have only ever seen, you know, how many people out there have a water softener and are still using all the soap, right? They're still filling both cups in their dishwasher, and they're still using a full cap or more in their laundry. You know, how many of them are still, you know, chemically softening their water when they have a mechanical water softener, because they don't know any different, you know? So no, I 100% agree that you should still be explaining that stuff and still be teaching that stuff. What I wanted to kind of talk about today, though, was, you know, that script is really valuable. It's really important to understand, and you do use portions of the script. However, when it, you know, that can be really, number one, intimidating for a new salesperson or any person going into the home. And number two, if you don't go beyond just memorizing the words and really understanding what each section of that script does, then I think you're going to continue to have the closing ratio. First off, you're going to be really, really easy to sell again. So if you, you know, you're going to have a 30% closing ratio. Yay, good for you. Okay. You know, you can do that because it's pretty powerful script. But then when somebody comes in that actually understands that sales should be way more about giving than taking, should be way more about listening than talking, and then you're going to lose the sales to them. You're when you're up against somebody else, you're going to lose it. So, you know, head-to-head. Because anybody customer-centric who's actually listening to the customer and then using the script and as the customer is answering, so using portions of that script in direct response to the questions you've asked the customer and the way the customer has answered those questions, you're gonna be a lot more effective. But let's talk for a minute about your basic, you know, how to start. So let me. There's two aspects of this. First off, I do think that you should get a hold of one of those presentations, watch it, and learn it, because there are some really valuable pieces of those presentations out there. Beyond that, I think really understanding how a presentation works and how to organize the presentation is pretty valuable as well. And I kind of wanted to go back to the basics on that. And even back way before I came into the industry, and something that has helped me a lot through my presentations, is going all the way back to college in my very first speech class, Speech 101. Anybody on the call taken Speech 101 before or remember anything from that, maybe in high school or college? Anybody take?
I took it in college.
So a few of you, do you remember your very first, what they called your basic introduction speech, just your very basic speech? Do you remember the three aspects of what that speech were?
Yes.
Paul, what were they? What do you do in your basic?
Ours was tell them what you're going to tell them what you told them.
Yeah, basic. That's right. That's exactly right. The three aspects of it. You say what you're going to say. You say what you just said you were going to say. And then you say what you just said. That's how you organize the presentation, is as basic as it was. Your intro, your body, and your close. You had three parts of that presentation. Your intro, your body, and your close. In the introduction, you tell them what you're going to say. In the body, you say what you need to say. In the close, you say what you just said. You guys remember? Are you remembering the same way I am? So when you go into a presentation in the home, instead of trying to memorize this big, long, gigantic script with a ton of information, all you have to do is memorize three basic things. I mean, what are you going to do in the home? What are you going to do? There's only three things that we do in the home. And if you only, all you have to do is memorize those three things, and it makes the rest of the presentation really, really super easy in terms of organizing it. So the three things that I always do in the home is I'm going to do a plumbing assessment. I'm going to test the water, do a water analysis, and then I'm going to make a recommendation. Three things. So when I start at the home, I mean, and I always kind of, when I'm talking to groups, you know, I think sometimes in sales or being in this industry, we forget what it's like to be a homeowner or to have somebody come into our homes ourselves. And so it tends to be unrealistic. We treat our customers differently than we would behave or want to be treated. And the truth is, if I have a salesperson coming to my house for something, maybe they're going to, I remember, you know, in my house that we were looking at possibly getting a pool, a swimming pool. So we had a couple salespeople come to the house. And I remember thinking ahead of time, there were two questions that I had. How long was the presentation going to take? And how much was it going to be? What was it going to cost? I had no idea. How long was it going to last? You know, how long was the presentation going to last? And how long was it going to take? Those are the two questions that I had. And I thought, you know, that can't be that abnormal. That's got to be what everybody that has somebody coming to their house is thinking. You know, how much, first and foremost, what's it going to cost? But also, how long are they going to be here? Would you guys agree that that's something that every single customer out there is probably concerned with or thinking about before you get to the home?
Yeah, I'd say that's the top.
Yeah. So those, the first thing that I do when I get out to that house is I address what's going to happen. I mean, they're nervous. Am I going to have to sit through this big 3-hour thing? So I give them a roadmap. The very first thing I do, I say, Michelle and Paul, thank you very much for having me out this evening. I really appreciate the opportunity to meet with you. If it's okay with you, there are three things that we're going to do this evening. The first is going to be a plumbing assessment. I want to take a look at where the water is coming into the house and if you have any existing equipment there, I want to take a look at that. The next thing is I'm going to do a thorough water analysis and water test. I'm going to ask you some questions during the plumbing assessment and the water analysis, and then based on those things, your answers to my questions, I'll kind of explain to you how these things work and give you a recommendation, and then I'll get out of your hair. How's that sound? You know, there are three things that I'm doing. There's only three things, and I'm going to let the customer know what those three things are: the plumbing assessment, the water analysis, and then the recommendation. So then when it comes time, because the other thing that salespeople struggle with sometimes is making that transition from when they first go into the house, you know, where do you put your test kit? Where do you, you know, how do you transition from that introduction and that little housewarming thing, you know, the building rapport part right at the very beginning, you know, how do you transition from that to going and looking at their most intimate private space in the home? You know, the place where they never go, where the spider webs and you know, cat litter box and all the furnace and everything else is. How do you transition from that warm introduction to going and invading this private space, you know, doing this plumbing assessment? Well, I just told them that's what I want to do, that I'm going to be doing a plumbing assessment. And so it's when I say, okay, let's go take a look at where the water comes into the house, I've already told them that's what I was going to do, so now I'm doing it. Plumbing assessment takes 10 minutes maybe. Okay, I'm asking them some question, which I also said I was going to do. Once I'm done with the plumbing assessment, whether they're thinking about it consciously or subconsciously, they're going in their minds, they're going, oh, we're a third of the way done. This is the roadmap. He just told me he was going to be doing a plumbing assessment. We finished the plumbing assessment. We're well on our way to being done. It puts the customer a lot more at ease instead of them thinking, you know, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? At the very beginning, before I do anything, I've told them what's going to go on, what's going to happen. So now I go up, and when it comes time to test the water, they're not surprised because I've told them that's what I was going to do. I was going to test the water. I was going to do a thorough water analysis. Then guess what comes next? A recommendation. That's the third thing. After I'm done doing the water test, they're going, oh, we're two-thirds of the way done. We're almost done. Now going into the part where I get to ask them for money, you know, the part where I get to make a recommendation, they're way more relaxed at that point because they haven't been having to guess what was coming next all the way through that presentation. I've given them a roadmap. And so when I'm done with the sink demonstration or the water analysis, what's next? Well, they know what's coming next. Now comes the part where I get to make a recommendation. Okay, once I make the recommendation, I do what I say. I'm going to get out of their hair, hopefully with an authorized scheduled install, install date. What do you guys think? Have you done it differently? Does this work? Is this the way you do it yourselves? I think sitting there and sometimes when we come into the industry, you know, and we learn how to do this stuff, I think it can become really overwhelming. It feels super complicated, and it doesn't have to be. It really just comes down to that basic speech, your body, your introduction, your body, and your clothes. And then you can fill in the blanks with the information that you need to give them during that part. What do you guys think? Is this how you do it? Have you done it differently? What are your thoughts on this?
Hi, this is Elaine. Good morning. You know, we have the standard, well, now it's on an iPad, but we have the standard demo. And I really appreciate what you're saying. I think that really, really surmises what we do. But my question to you is, how do we teach our crew how much leverage we should put on relationship versus the mundane, this is how hard your water is, this is, you know, your chlorine level. I think my guys get stuck on, oh, no, I'm not done yet. I've got two more tests to do, and forget about the report thing in the process. How do you manage that? or teach that, I should say.
You know, Elaine, I think that's because they're both so important, right? And I think that is the risk sometimes when, because I, you have to teach the script. That's, and that's something I'm so glad that you kind of recognize that I'm saying that. I am not suggesting that you don't learn and utilize that script, but the risk there is exactly what you're saying, is that people feel that they have to complete the script. Every once in a while, having them step back and when they are more interested in giving than taking, when it becomes more of a conversation and when they're actually listening to what the customer is saying. I mean, that's something that salespeople do all the time, is they talk themselves out of a sale, right? They just keep going. The customer's like, yeah, I'll buy it. Yeah, but I still have to tell you about this. No, I said I'd buy it. Yeah, but I still have to tell you about this. You know, say, learn to say, take yes for an answer, right? And so what I would do is just remind them to just step back and not forget that you're talking to a human being, and just have them have fun with it. You know, talk. The script's important, but more important is that that's a human being in front of you who's a homeowner who has concerns and questions, and just learn to. The problem is that they're working so hard on doing the script that they're forgetting that it's just a conversation. Anybody want to help with that, or what are your? I don't know if that answered your question or not, but I think just reminding them that they're, you know, that stuff is super important, but to step back and actually look and listen to the person in front of them.
You should always be asking questions. You should always be telling the asking the customer, what is it? What are their concerns? I think that the presentations are to keep them on track in case they
yes.
get lost. It is an aid. It is not the end all to end all.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. Elaine, what were you going to say? You were going to add to that?
No, I think it was me, Michelle. So
oh,
I want to say two quick things. I think, Kelly, how you start off the presentation is great because you're managing their expectations, and like you said, they know exactly what's happening. And with regard to the script, I think it's really important for salespeople, A, to know their product, that's a given, that I think we all agree on, and then B, to kind of read their customer. You have the customers who really want to see every single test and have a lot of questions. And you have some customers who, I think Paul alluded to, kind of like they know they want a water softener, or they know they need to replace their water softener. So they kind of just want to know what they need to know and tell me where to sign and let's schedule a date. So I think there's a little bit of an art or a finesse for a salesperson to be able to recognize that accordingly with the customer they have in front of them, and know whether the customer wants the whole thing because they really want to see it, or maybe they're comparing you to another, you know, another competitor, or they're going with you and they're eager to just say, you know, just tell me what I need to know and let's get this scheduled.
Yeah, and I think listening to how much knowledge, that's where the questions come in. I mean, right, question-based selling is. And we, you know, we have talked on this call before about what a doctor does. You know, the doctor goes in and asks way more questions. I mean, if you think about your regular doctor's appointment, did the, you know, if it's a 30-minute doctor's appointment, the time you're actually seeing her, how much time was spent with the doctor gathering information versus them giving you a recommendation, right? And it's almost, it's usually 90% them gathering information, them and their team gathering information, and only about 10% giving a recommendation. And if it was the opposite way, you'd be apt to seek a second opinion when you left. And it's the same thing with what we do. We have the knowledge. We have the ability to go in there and do it, you know, and present this stuff. But it's got to be based on those questions that we're asking and our responses to those questions. So, and you use the script because there's so much great information in that script. you know, those iPads that Paul, you and Elaine both alluded to, you know, different, you each have different manufacturers. Each of you have your digital presentations. They're super powerful, lots and lots of information. And so your salespeople have to know that stuff, but they have to know, they also have to be familiar enough with it that they can utilize the tool that directly addresses the customer's answers to the questions. So it's not just memorizing the script in the order that the script came in. It's being able to pull pieces of that script and utilize it in response to the answers to the questions that are in the script. That script, they all have questions. How much soap do you use? You know, which is, would you consider a higher priority to you? Those scripts tell you exactly what questions to ask. But the scripts cannot answer the questions the way the customers will. And so sometimes you've got to, you know, pull, based on the answers, you've got to be able to pull sections out of order in that script. And so it's not just memorizing the script. It's knowing it and the materials so well that you can really give a customer-centric presentation. Would you guys agree with that? Elaine, I don't know if I answered your initial question or not.
Well, I would say you really need to do a really good customer assessment up front. And you've got to be respectful to people's time nowadays. When you walk in, so many people get locked into, like, building rapport up front, where you'll build rapport through your demonstration. But you got to get there, and you got to get to the point of, like, what you got going on. Do a really good customer assessment up front. You have to set an agenda, and you have to get to it, because you have those customers that were going to want to sit there for an hour and a half. But you're also going to have those directors that are, okay, get to it. If you get to it and you find out during that customer assessment and the agenda, you'll know who you're dealing with. And you'll know, I just know I want a water softener. Oh, okay, well, you don't need the whole dog and pony show. They don't know what the whole dog and pony show is. But you've got to find out what they're looking for. But the other questions is to find out the other things that they don't know about. Because if you're coming out there for one specific problem, it might not be worth striking a check to solve that one problem. But if I can find out that, oh, that's your problem, but we can also solve this, 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 and this, then you build value.
Sometimes they don't even know. You know, there are a lot of people out there who call us out because they have iron staining or they need a water softener, and they're not even thinking about the 10 cases of bottled water they're buying every month, and that we can address that as well, you know, or vice versa. So you're right. You do have to ask those questions to kind of figure out. I mean, that's like going to the doctor because, you know, if I go to the doctor, I want them to do a thorough examination. How many times have you known people that went to the doctor for one thing and discovered something else early enough that it saved their life? I mean, if that doctor didn't do those thorough tests, then, you know, you wouldn't hear those stories later. You know, so we have to be thorough and do, there's a combination of being thorough and letting the customer guide us on the priorities and the time that we have. Any final thoughts in the last minute or so here? Thank you very much for you guys jumping in on those conversations. You guys, Scott and Elaine and a few of you guys snuck in here after we started, and I'm thrilled to have your input on it. You too, Paul. Paul, you matter to me. So, so any final thoughts here at the last minute?
I find that customers do care for people that actually come to their house and become very detail-oriented in terms of what they find and what they talk about. It's a two-way street between the customer and the salesperson. Otherwise, it'll feel like robots, you know, and anybody can do that.
Yep. Jose, you matter to me too.
Oh, man. Thank you for that. Well, you matter to me too, my friend.
All righty. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. But what group hug as we go, and we will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody, especially those of you down in the path of spleen, and we will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe. Thanks, Sylv.
Thanks
so much.
Thanks, Kelly.
Take care, Kelly.
Thanks.